on up, baby? Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Before You Bet, airing live right now on the Coverage YouTube and X channels. If you are watching live right now, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Make sure you add a comment. You guys can participate in the show. Hit up the live chat on YouTube and on X. Let us know what some of your best bets are for today's Major League Baseball games and Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. Nice to see the, well, depending on where your action is and your rooting interest, but it is good to see the Timberwolves extend things to a Game 5. We're off to Minnesota. We're going to be all over that. A handful of plays for Major League Baseball and big golf show here today too. Both LGPA, we're making history, breaking some barriers on the show here today. And a PGA tournament coming up. Neil Parker hot on the heels of going 3-0 on his debut performance last week. He will be with us in the back half of the show. But let's start with our guy, the Ass Man, the Magic Ass Man, decked out in his Tigers gear. John Mettler, how are we making out?
Good. I'm excited. The Timberwolves, it's that series. It could get a little spooky here for the Mavericks. If the Timberwolves go home, you know, usually you see like what the Celtics, they lost to the Heat and the Cavs, but then they go home for Game 5, right? I mean, the Mavericks are going on the road here for Game 5. You're, all of a sudden, if that goes 3-2, you're coming back to Dallas. This series takes on a very different, even myself, I feel like we all kind of conceded that the Mavericks are going to the NBA Finals, and the loss of Derek Lively is huge. I think that's a big problem for the Mavericks. So it's kind of getting a little interesting here.
Yeah. Let's talk about the big picture perspective here. First, to come back and win the series, you can take the Timberwolves at +425. This is a team that has seen some crazy momentum swings in the playoffs here so far. It looked like they were going to sweep the Nuggets. Then it looked like the Nuggets were just going to bounce back and put them away. Of course, that wasn't the case. But here we are going back to Minnesota. And my big thought after the Timberwolves extended things here last night is it's going to absolutely suck for the Mavericks to have to get on a plane and fly to Minnesota now. You know, they were in a situation, they were looking at sweeping the series, celebrating last night, maybe having some cocktails perhaps, and having a nice long break ahead of the NBA Finals starting up next Thursday. But now they're flying up north to Minnesota here, going to a very tough environment. So not quite must win for them. Obviously, it is for Minnesota. But the momentum, pretty wild here. So do you think we're going to go into the weekend here potentially, John?
I think so. I think the Timberwolves, I do think it really does depend on Derek Lively and his health. Ali LaForce, she made a report during the game kind of implying that he could play in Game 5. But then they panned to him on the sideline and he looked like someone who has taken one too many edibles. So he might be on some serious pain.
Yes.
He looked out of it. And I saw a couple of videos of him just walking around. I don't really know. You also don't know, like, if he comes back and plays, is it like full on healthy Derek Lively, who's extremely active and has making a big impact, or is he just kind of out there to be out there type thing? So that's kind of a factor too. I do think, you know, when they're switching out Lively Gafford, that was a huge problem for the Timberwolves. You kind of go to Maxi Kleber. It's very different. Dwight Powell played 2 minutes, and then you can literally see Luka Doncic turn the bench and say, sub him out to Jason Kidd, and Jason Kidd sub him out. He never came back. So, yeah, I think the Timberwolves are still alive to it. Like they can do this. It's been the Timberwolves, even the series against the Nuggets. They're not overmatched by any means. It's not like you're watching Heat Nuggets.
Close games.
Right. It's not overmatched. They're not overmatched at all. They have the pieces to win. It's just about, can they win the games, right?
One too many edibles. Producer Mick knows what that's all about. Okay. Carl Anthony Towns, we'll give him a little bit of credit. I think, what was it? He hit 3 threes in the fourth quarter. You know, Towns is one of these guys, people can't wait for him to mess up, which he does a lot, but he is one of these guys who does tend to be a punching bag, maybe takes too much criticism. Maybe he doesn't get all the credit when he deserves it. So we'll give him a nice pat on the back for that performance there last night. But yeah, things are interesting now. The NBA, we need a little bit of juice here. We're still more than a week out from the NBA Finals starting. So yeah, it would be nice to see this go at least 6 games. Game 6 scheduled for, I believe, Saturday night in Dallas. So we'll see what happens there. But we have a handful of props for the game here, John. 5 total. We're double dipping. on one. I think the first time in the history of Before You Bet. We're making a lot of history on the show here today, John. So let's start with that one. We both like Anthony Edwards to go under his point total of 28 and a half. We kind of have some different reasons here, but I'll let you get us started on this one. And yeah, John, you can lead off. We both like Anthony Edwards to go under his point total. You tell us first why you like this one.
So I went with Anthony Edwards under 20 and a half points, minus 115.
I tell you about producer Nick on those edibles?
So I went under the 20 and a half points. You just look at game four. So like you said, we kind of do have different reasons here. When you look at game four, Edwards was extremely aggressive, like high usage, ball was in his hands all the time. And like, you kind of thought to yourself, like, oh, he's way over his points total. And then you watch the game and you're like, 40 seconds left, he hits the jump shot to go on 29 to go over 27 and a half. And you're like, if he misses that jump shot, he goes under yesterday. So you think of like how aggressive and how high his usage was. And like, it was 100% the game was in his hands, and he still had like barely got over. And I don't think this isn't a knock. My bet on the under is not a knock on Anthony Edwards. It's the fact that I think if Derek Lively doesn't play, you know, you saw Conley get to the rim, you saw Karl-Anthony Towns get the rim, you saw Gobert be able to finish on the inside. I just think there's other opportunities for other players on the Timberwolves because they're so focused on Anthony Edwards. And when he's extremely aggressive, they are so focused on Anthony Edwards. I think it opens up for the other players to score more. And especially in a game five at home where role players typically play better, and this total moves up by 1 point because he did go over. That's why I'm going under. It's not necessarily knock on Edwards. I just think the other players have an better opportunity to score with the matchups and stuff that we're currently seeing. So that's why I went under.
I agree. I am also on this bet. I am fading Anthony Edwards' point total of 28 and a half. Now, this has dipped to 27 and a half at one sports book I was looking at, but still plenty of 28 and a halves out there. So you often want to get on these bets early. So the primary reason why I do like this is because his three-point shooting has fallen off with each passing round in the playoffs here, averaging just 2.3 makes per game in the series. The volume has fallen off considerably as well. He has stayed under this number in six of his last seven games. Yes, he did hit 29 on Tuesday, but he didn't even come close to touching this number in four of the seven games in that stretch where he had 21 points or less. And Dallas isn't making it easy to finish in the paint in this series. He's averaging just 7.5 points per game in the paint in this series compared to double digits in each of the previous two rounds. So, we're double dipping on that under 28 and a half. I do kind of like Ant over 13 and a half assists plus rebounds, though. That's one that's out there. I think he's gone over that in three of the four games in the series. He's averaging around 17 and a half, I think. So he's really filling the stat sheet in that way. So something to consider if you want to actually back Ant and not fade him. Next up, Karl-Anthony Towns. What do you like for him?
Doug Farmer's not going to like that. I'm going Karl-Anthony Towns over 2.5 assists plus 114. This is kind of an assist prop I've been watching the whole series. The juice has just never really fallen into like a point where I was like, all right, it's time. Let's hit the button. Plus 114, 2.5. I'm doing it because this was 3.5 when the series started. He's gone under in 3 of 4, but if it was 2.5, it'd be 2-2. There's just so many paths to Towns getting over this. And like, they highlight it on the broadcast like almost every game. Like when they do the two-man game of Towns and Gobert pick and roll, Towns will feed Gobert and it's an easy dunk. And you're just like, why don't they keep doing it? And they literally bring it up all the time on the broadcast. Why don't they keep doing this? But those are like extremely high value potential assists that should be there. And I think the flip side too is I'm also placing these bets. I personally don't think Lively's going to play. When you saw last night with Maxi Kleber in, Maxi Kleber's defense on a driving Towns is to take a charge. And he took a couple on him. Towns, if you go back and watch the film, like if you're Towns, you're the coaching staff, and you make him watch the film, just throw the lob, man, to Rudy Gobert. So like, or to someone else, or dish it off to someone else. That's just kind of, you know, if it's Gafford in the game, maybe you go Ray Adam and try to body and lay it around him. But with Kleber, he's going to try to take a charge. So it's just kind of how they're guarding him too. You also moved to your home court. You just banged a bunch of threes in the last game. They should try to make a little more of a concerted effort to stop your three-point shooting. So if that equals one more swing pass for Towns to get more potential assists as well. Just 2.5 plus 114. I love the price. I'm going over.
Okay. Towns was pretty good there in game four, but I think Towns will transform into Clowns in game five of this series. So I'm going to fade his point total. It's up to 20 and a half, minus 120. And it's mainly just because of this trend. Straight up, I'm going with the trend here. So he's gone under this number in all seven of the Timberwolves' home playoff games, where he's only averaging 14.1 points per game. That's compared to 22.3 on the road, where he's been really good. Now, scoring consistency has been an issue throughout the playoffs for Towns. Not a lot of back-to-back games where he has a strong scoring output. His shot volume can be sporadic as well. And pretty good rim protection by Dallas in the series. I get that Lively might be out here again, but they still did a solid job at limiting points in the paint. Douglas Farmer weighing in, just Joe stooping to inside the NBA levels, relying on cheap gimmicks for laughs. That's true. I've been doing the Carl Anthony Clowns bit for a couple of years now, so I do like to run that back every now and then. Now, I think I know what he's talking about. It was Draymond Green saying the crowd was chanting Draymond sucks, and he responded, no, Rudy sucks. And I don't know how I feel about that, John. And I get it that Draymond Green and these guys are there for entertainment, but there's supposed to be a certain level of bias to it. And Draymond Green saying on the broadcast that Rudy sucks? I don't know. Am I being uptight? What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, you are supposed to be unbiased, but he also did choke him out in an NBA game. So I guess there's a little different. He did give him credit last night after the game. Draymond did.
I saw that.
He said Gobert did a really good job of catching bodies and chucking people through the lane. And he thought Gobert had a big impact on them winning. So I kind of felt like I felt like that was pretty good on Draymond, dude.
I think so. I think he did that. I think that was intentional, though. I think someone must have said something like, dude, you can't be saying the guy sucks on the broadcast.
Yeah, for sure. I think he was told too to kind of not go with that type of personal rivalry against Gobert. So I think when he gave him credit, Gobert did have a good game though too. So
He was great.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, let's wrap up the NBA section here. Jaden McDaniels, what do you like for him tomorrow night?
Yeah, you gotta love when. So I bet Jaden McDaniels this past game four, to go over 1.5 assists plus 140. He had 0 assists and 0 potential assists. And I'm going over 1.5 plus 155 in game five. So it's just funny that that's kind of how it played out. When you watch the actual, when you watch the game, so you look at those stats, it's obviously not good. He's averaging a lot of potential assists per game in the series. When you watch the game though, there was one drive, he got called for stepping on the baseline and he passed it to Gobert and Gobert was going to dunk it. That could have been an assist. There was another fast break where it was a 3-on-1. He dumped it to Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards looked like he was going to lay it in, and then he decelled too quickly and ended up giving it back to McDaniels, and the whole break was a mess. There's a lot of plays, and there's a bunch of mid-range jumpers Jaden McDaniels took too, where I watched him get in the lane. I'm like, oh, perfect. This is a great potential assist coming up because he's collapsing the defense, and then he just kind of shot it. So you kind of look at those stats, it kind of scares you. The thing is, there's two things I really like for Jaden McDaniels is, one, they have to make Doncic work on defense. I don't know why they're not. And even if it's just a little bit more than what you saw last game, that will really help his ability to get potential assists. Again, I think it's just one of those things you throw on film and you're like, oh, we let Doncic just stay in the corner a lot on defense. And that's something we need to change just a little bit. And two is you kind of are seeing the Timberwolves shift the rotations just a little bit. And I think it moves, McDaniels is now on Kyrie Irving. McDaniels to me just has arguably across, outside the superstars, he has the most secure minutes of anyone in this series, because not only he shut down Kyrie Irving yesterday, and that's kind of the switch they made. So because of his defense, he's playing big time minutes. And then you just we don't need that many minutes from him, a normal allotment minutes to show an edge on this. And then he's got it. He's going to play elevated minutes. It's just his role in the series. His defense is way too important. So just from that angle too, it's just, I have 1.5 plus 155. I'm running this back. It doesn't scare me. He had 0 assists last game. I think there's a lot of opportunity for him to get over 1.5 assists.
Go run that shit back. Okay. We are closing in on 900 live viewers right now across YouTube and X. If you guys want to be part of the show, it is very easy to do so. Just hit up the live chat. Let us know what some of your best bets are for game 5 of the Western Conference Finals and today's Major League Baseball games. And I'll read a few off over the course of the show. Okay. Another winning day for yours truly yesterday, Major League Baseball, up to 19.32 units. I'm pretty sure that's the best pace I've ever set for myself in baseball. So looking to cross the 20-unit plateau here today. 4 bets for you guys. Let's get right into it. All pitcher props, of course. Going with one of my favorites. I've been backing this guy pretty much every start. Shota Imanaga, under 1.5 earned runs, plus 110. on this one. Don't be scared of the low number. He's 7-2 against this number this season with six separate zero earned run performances. His best work has come on the road. He's in Milwaukee here tonight. On the road, he has a 0.38 ERA. Milwaukee, they've been average versus left-handed pitching lately with a lot of soft contact. So I like him to continue to roll tonight in Milwaukee. On the other side here, we'll be backing Brewers starter Bryce Wilson. Under 2.5 earned runs from him, minus 135. He's made six starts this season, and he's 6-0 against this number. As a starter, he has a very respectable 2.20 ERA in these games. Having a short leash has helped. Now, this guy's a converted reliever. As a result, he doesn't often get to the 100-pitch mark. He's had 80 pitches or less in three straight starts, so he could get yanked at the first sign of trouble here. And just a beautiful matchup for him here. The Cubs' offense is ice cold, 29th in OPS over the last 2 weeks. Next up, a guy's name who I have said a lot on this show during the Major League Baseball season here, Seth Lugo. Going to go under 2.5 earned runs for him. That's at minus 140. He is 8-3 against this number this season, including a perfect 5-0 on the road where he has a 0.75 ERA. He's facing the Dinky Twinkies of Minnesota. More shots at Doug Farmer, I suppose. But the Twinkies are struggling versus right-handed pitching, 27th in OPS over the last 2 weeks. Not hitting at home either. 25th in OPS over the last 2 weeks for the Dinky Twinkies in Minnesota. And on the mound here for the Dinky Twinkies is Bailey Ober. And we're going to fade him. Under 17.5 outs. This is plus 115 over at Bet365. A beautiful number. He's 0-7 against this number in his career versus Kansas City. Royals hitters have absolutely owned him. They've combined for an OPS of over 1,068 at-bats against him. They shelled the absolute shit out of him to open the season. 8 earned runs off 9 hits in that game. Kansas City, one of the hottest offenses in baseball as well, second in OPS over the last 2 weeks. So they have 4 picks for Major League Baseball. And I keep saying we're making history on the show here, John. I don't believe you've given out any baseball bets yet this season. So let's get into it in honor of John attending some baseball here. We have the Pirates in Detroit. You know, if we told you this matchup was taking place last year, maybe not a whole lot of excitement for this matchup, but a little bit different here today. And to honor the game, you have a same game parlay. So tell us about what you're betting for this game.
Yeah, so I'm going to the game. It's a doubleheader. I also put same game parlay on this graphic, and I realize it's probably not a same game parlay because they're actually pitching in two different games here, but it's on the same day in the same ballpark. So I'm going Tarik Skubal, 8-plus Ks, and Paul Skeens, 8-plus Ks. It plays plus 415. When I was just looking at this, you know, Skubal, he was about 6.5, like minus 150-ish, and you have an edge on that number, but the projection on our covers website, you can see like the projections from EV Analytics and under our prop projections, they have them at about 7.6. So 7.6, I'm very comfortable going to an alt over of 8-plus Ks. So I threw Skubal in there. And then also for Skeens, like I was looking at his thing, his total is about 7.5. At FanDuel as well, he's about 20 cents better there. He's plus 128. You're looking at about a plus 100 everywhere else. I do wonder, I mean, you can kind of back me up here, Joe. It's a day game doubleheader. I imagine to some degree, like you're not facing the A lineup. You're facing more of the B lineup because you got to play both games. And there's got to be some form of like hitter fatigue. And then you also like Skeens is pitching. I think that game's supposed to start around 4 o'clock and you kind of get in those like shadows, daytime stuff too. So I feel like there's a lot of other like outside angles that can kind of help the pitchers here on top of just like these prices kind of just showing an edge in general. When you look at the projections on our covers website and you kind of cross-reference them with the market, they both kind of show an edge. And honestly, I'm going to the game and it's two fantastic pitchers and I just want to root for the strikeout. So I parlayed the number. It's more just for fun, honestly. But there's, I mean, if you look at our projections, there is kind of an edge as well on these numbers.
Yeah, Skeen certainly living up to the hype early on. It'll be interesting to see if he follows in the footstep of other breakout Pirates pitchers, Gerrit Cole and Tyler Glasnow, who of course both got traded. How upsetting has that got to be for Pirates fans, as soon as they get a good player, well, you know, 3 or 4 years before they're due their first big contract, they trade them for prospects. They never end in hamster wheel. We see that with the Tampa Bay Rays quite a bit as well. Okay, let's continue to make some history here, John. The LGPA, I believe it's the U.S. Open, gets going here tomorrow. And there's a couple of plays that you like for this. Break these down. Tell us why you like them.
Yeah, so I actually do. I really just talk about NBA and stuff. And NBA is obviously my main focus for sports betting. But I do dabble in some LPGA for betting. I just don't really talk about it too often. But it's the U.S. Women's Open, so I'm going to share some of these. So I bet two outrights, Hannah Green plus 3,500, Brooke Henderson plus 2,800. And then I have a top 10, Ayaka Faru plus 300. Hannah Green, she's won twice this year. I know Neil's coming on here after. I'm sure he'll tell you too. There's some golfers who it is kind of boomer bust. They are capable of winning. And I don't think you can say that about every golfer. There's some golfers who are really, really good, but they're more of like a top 10 person who just constantly is near the leaderboard, but they can't ever throw it over the top to win the whole thing. Hannah Green's won twice this year. She's had success at women's opens in the past. So I grabbed her 3,500. And then Brooke Henderson, they played at Lancaster. I think it was 2015, the U.S. Women's Open. That's obviously a long time ago. A lot of people in this field didn't even play in that tournament. She finished top 10. She was obviously way younger back then. She was talking about yesterday, the course has changed. There's, you know, different slopes. It's a lot longer and stuff like that. But to me, you have to have some form of like comfort that like you've played here before and you had success just coming in mentally. And the one thing with her, you know, she had a really down year last year. Her putting is so much better this year. That was her downfall. Last year was driving me crazy on some of the bets I had with her. She just missed short putts. She's gaining strokes on her putting. She's always been a great ball striker. So 2,800, I'm grabbing her. I like that price. And then Ayaka Faru is kind of the opposite of what I was saying with Hannah Green. She's someone who's very consistent, has a great all-around game. She just doesn't drive the ball very far. So she is someone who I kind of value more of a top 10 than an outright because I feel like she has a really hard time setting like the best score. But in terms of someone who can fight her way around a U.S. Open course, I feel like it's her. And she was about plus 200 about everywhere, but Bet365 had plus 300, so I jumped on that one.
Okay, there you have it. A little LGPA action from John Mettler, who is off to the ball. Are you leaving? Like, when's the first game start here? Pretty soon, well, right?
I got my passport in my wallet in my pocket right now. I'm rolling out of here right after the show.
How long does it take you to get through the border typically?
Border like 15 minutes. Probably be at the ballpark. It was like 12:25 now. Probably there at like 1:10. If the first pitch was still 1:10, we would have been golden. But it's 12:40 now. They moved it up for the doubleheader, so okay. I missed the first inning, but not long at all.
Very cool. All right, buddy, I'm jealous. Well, you have an absolute blast. Best of luck with that parlay that you have. Hopefully, we see a lot of strikeouts there today. We'll catch you again on the show on Friday, where we'll either be previewing the NBA Finals or Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals. So catch you then.
All right. Good luck with your bets, everyone.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's keep on rolling here. PGA tournament gets going tomorrow. And let's bring in our guy, Neil Parker, the red hot Neil Parker, one of the best debuts in the history of this show. Maybe the best, because you went 3-0 with your picks there last week. We're not going to let you dine out on that for much longer, though, Neil, because I believe it's the Canadian Open that gets going here tomorrow, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what they say, Joe? Well, at least Fast Eddie Felsen, money won is twice as sweet as money earned, my man.
Oh, yes. Okay. I can tell this is going to be a good one today. Okay, so let's get into it. You have an outright. You have a top 30 and a top 40. Let's start with the big one, the outright bet. Who are you taking?
Seth Thigala. So he's already won this fall. He's followed it up with a couple of runner-up finishes. This season's coming off the T12 at the PGA Championship. Thigala is an excellent ball striker, off the tee, on approach, but he might be an even better putter. So right now, the only statistical outlier is he hasn't been that sharp around the greens, but I'm not devaluing him in any way. He finished 22nd in strokes gained around the green last season, and I've also seen him get up and down out of some tough lies and tough spots over the past few months. So this is a shallow field. Thigala's a winner, and he can definitely put it all together across four rounds and take down this tournament.
Okay, next up we have Alex Noren, top 30, minus 110. Why do you like this one?
Yeah, well, there are absolutely no weaknesses in Alex Noren's game right now. He has played the weekend in 17 consecutive events with 13 top 30 showings. He's second in this field in true strokes gained tee to green across his past 12 measured rounds. He's coming off a T12 also at the PGA Championship, where he finished seventh in true strokes gained on approach. And the final thing with Noren is that he paces the PGA Tour in scrambling percentage this season, and that could come in handy. Smaller than average greens at Hamilton Golf and Country Club. And it's funny because John was just talking about a player who can always contend but can't win. Well, that's kind of the knock on Noren. I mean, he's won overseas on the DP World Tour a number of times. He's still looking for that first PGA Tour victory. I definitely have some sprinkle on his outright, but I love this top 30. You probably won't find the minus 110 anymore, but anything to minus 130 is even fine. He's going to really play well. He's one of the betting favorites, and it's warranted.
Okay, there we go. So that's worth a shot. A little bit of plus money here. Let's wrap with Matt Wallace, top 40, plus 120 on that one.
Yeah, so Matt Wallace has won on the DP World Tour four times. He won the opposite field Corrales Punta Quinta Championship last year, and he's been flashing on leaderboards for stretches this season too. He's struggled to really put it together across four rounds, but he does have a nice T4, I believe, at the Myrtle Beach Classic recently. And he did make the cut at the PGA Championship. Wallace has gained true strokes across the board over his past 12 rounds. And that includes ranking 11th in this field in true gained strokes, tee to green. So this is a little bit of a sideways analysis too, Joe. But when the event, the RBC Canadian Open was held here in 2019, a few accomplished veteran European players played well. Henrik Stenson, Graham McDowell, and peak prime Matt Wallace has a similar game that I think will translate well to this course. And top 40 plus money odds for Matt Wallace is a bet I really like.
Okay, there you have it. Neil's three favorite bets. Now, Neil, you set the expectations. So people are expecting another sweep, especially on that 20-1 outright bet. So we wish you luck with that. But let the people know where they can find you and where they can find your work.
Yeah, Neil Parker Bets on X. I believe it's right down there. And then yes, covers.com, NHL content. The playoffs are rolling right along. I know Jingles and I think are doing quite well late. And so that's awesome. And then, yeah, PGA Tour stuff. So all the picks are on the picks pages. It's all right there. And I appreciate the time, man. And we'll catch up next week or sooner.
Who's meeting in the Stanley Cup Finals? Tell us that before you go.
Oh, well, I hope the Stars. It doesn't look good for the Rangers right now. I have a Stars outright from February or something. So that would be fantastic. It doesn't look good for the Rangers, but I originally did bet them to beat the Panthers. So we'll see. I think the Eastern Conference is much more of a toss-up than the Western Conference. I do think the Dallas Stars are just too deep with too many offensive weapons, and the Edmonton Oilers are struggling both in goal, and they just don't have the supporting cast to go 60 minutes with the Dallas Stars night in, night out for the rest of the series.
Yeah, I'd like to see Edmonton get the monkey off the country of Canada's back. Since 1993 was the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup? My God.
Right.
And you know what annoys me is the American hockey fan will rub that in to Canada's face as if half the players on your team there in the States aren't Canadian. Give me a break here, guys. So, yeah. We'll see how that shakes out, and maybe we'll look to get you on for talk a little Stanley Cup action once that gets going. But, Neil, thanks for joining, and best of luck with those bets.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot, Joe. I'd love to come on anytime and shoot the breeze, man. Talk soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, that does it for another edition of Before You Bet. If you're on YouTube watching right now, make sure you hit that subscribe button right down there. A lot of great content still to come this week, all over the NBA playoffs, all over the NHL playoffs, all over Major League Baseball. And we have UFC 302 coming up this weekend. We're going to be all over that. I did an interview with George St. Pierre on Monday morning. I believe that's going to be dropping this afternoon. Then Roe and I will be recording pound for pound picks here in about an hour and a half, all of our best bets for this Saturday's event. So you're going to want to check that out. Guys, thank you very much for tuning in for today's show. Best of luck with all of your bets, and we will catch you again on Friday. Woo!